Welcome to the monthly view from the Edge for November 2021. I'm Fritz Folz, Chief Investment Strategist here at 3Edge, and I'm joined once again today by Eric Biegeleisen, Director of Investment Research and Deputy Chief Investment Officer here at 3Edge Asset Management. As we do at the beginning of each month, Eric and I will provide our firm's most recent outlook for the global capital markets, which is based upon our proprietary research model. And as we did last month, today we'll once again be paying particular attention to the primary equity asset classes, both U.S. and ex-U.S., that make up our investment universe. And then we'll also take a look at fixed income and real assets. Have a great deal to get to today, so let's get started. The most important news item for the markets this week came on Wednesday when, at the conclusion of the FOMC meeting, the Fed made it official that they would soon begin to unwind or quote-unquote taper their $120 billion of monthly bond purchases, which they began in response to the onset of the global pandemic in order to make sure that the financial markets kept functioning. The announcement wasn't a surprise to the market since it had been well telegraphed by the Fed. And so, as of now anyway, no taper tantrum. The other piece of economic news came on Friday with non-farm payrolls report, which showed that the U.S. added 531,000 jobs in October, topping basically all Wall Street estimates. And the unemployment rate also declined to 4.6%. This was the best monthly jobs report since June. So with that background and with markets looking like they want to go higher, let me bring Eric into the conversation and let's take a look at what might be in store for the markets during the final 2 months of 2021 and beyond. So Eric, welcome back. And why don't we begin by looking at our asset class matrix chart, and maybe you could point out any changes that we've seen from month to month.
Sure, Fritz. As you can see on the chart here, there's not a lot of changes that we see at the macro level here, but there are some moving parts under the hood, and we'll get into what the model's seeing more specifically. I guess the most notable move that you can see here is the downward tick in developed Asia or Japanese equities from that bull positive spot down to just the plus one positive position, and we'll dive into that a little bit more.
Excellent. So as I mentioned earlier, we're going to look really primarily at the equity asset classes. So why don't we begin with U.S. equities? Kind of interesting 2 months, you know, since it was S&P was down, I believe, around 5% in September, and then it proceeded to make all of that back plus some in the month of October. So what are we seeing now for U.S. equities going forward?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was really remarkable rebound in October for the S&P 500, up 7% for the month, which is, considering the long run average for any given 12-month return for the S&P 500 is around 6%. So that's a big 1 month right there.
I'll say.
Yeah, we've seen U.S. equities continuing to reach all-time highs, pushing even further into overvalued territory. And something anyone who's been listening to us yammer on for months now knows about. But as we say, overvalued markets can get even more overvalued. And it is notable that, over the last 60 plus years, the S&P 500 has now reached the third most new all-time highs this year, just to this point in 2021. So, and there's still plenty of year left to continue that should the market continue on. So it's been an interesting year. As you noted regarding the Fed, they did a great job telegraphing the size and timing of the beginning of their tapering to the market well in advance of that November 2-3 meeting, and the market rewarded that. That said, we still have a highly accommodative central bank that's still buying a very large quantity of treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities every month. The balance sheet is still expanding, just at a slower rate for the time being. And we have interest rates still at zero for the foreseeable future. If we take a look at the Fed's futures markets, they're suggesting a greater than 50% probability of a hike. You have to go out to June of 2022. So that's still a good deal away. Risks to the U.S. market, though, are that the heightened inflationary pressures from the supply chain disruptions continue well into 2022, which may be longer than the Fed expects. So on the one hand, we may see the Fed behind the curve on combating inflation as they patiently wait for full employment. Alternatively, the Fed may act more aggressively than the market is anticipating should we achieve full employment or if inflation really gets out of control. So in either case, we should probably expect even more volatility. You know, our model does continue to find U.S. equities somewhat attractive, but only in the pockets of the more undervalued, higher quality areas.
Excellent. All right. So now let's look at Japan. And as you mentioned earlier, we have somewhat downgraded developed Asia or Japanese equities. So what's under the hood there?
That's right. And still worth noting, positive outlook, just not as positive, maybe as in months prior. The Japanese equity market continues to be relatively more attractive on a valuation basis, particularly versus other developed markets like the U.S. and Europe. However, growth prospects have dimmed somewhat, and that's why we took it down a step. And this is largely due to the flattening yield curve measure that we calculate for the region, which is indicative of softening growth prospects. On the other hand, Japan has been flirting with recent new highs, which if it breaks through and maintains will be a show of strength that is likely to attract further capital into the region. And it's worth noting that the most recent elections in Japan, and yes, there was yet another one, has further increased the probability of future additional fiscal and monetary stimulus, which investors have rewarded so far.
Absolutely. Great. So now let's take a look at what our model research is indicating for European equities. Eurozone definitely also experiencing some fairly dramatic inflationary pressure, as well as the prospects for a difficult winter and maybe some real material energy shortages, depending on how the weather plays out there. What's the model indicating in terms of Europe?
Yeah, although economic activity has rebounded throughout the EU, inflationary pressures have risen well above their own comfort zone, given in particular Germany's history of being inflation sensitive. Right. So the outlook is somewhat dimmed, as it remains to be seen how transitory, you know, inflation will be in the EU. It's also worth noting a recent widening of both investment grade and high yield credit spreads, which is another negative for the region. And as you noted, the EU is already facing challenges with energy supplies and deliveries. A colder than usual winter would certainly hurt the region. But all that said, the ECB has only marginally tapered their purchases so far, while keeping their various interest rate policies highly accommodative. So that's still a positive for the region. Yeah.
Great. Now let's take a look at India equities, which continue to be the most attractive of the equity asset classes that we model. And thus far, I mean, this year, India equities have pretty much kept pace with the S&P 500 year-to-date basis. India currently just wrapping up their celebration of Diwali, the 5-day festival of lights, one of the most important holidays in India, during which the faithful pray to the Hindu goddess of wealth and light small oil lamps to mark the victory of light over darkness, the triumph of good over evil. That sounds like a good holiday. But what is our model telling us about India equities?
Definitely. The model continues to favor Indian equities, which are continuing to benefit from a yield curve measure that we calculate that's both positively sloped and continuing to steepen. All good things for future prospects there. And India, as we've noted for some time, India should continue to benefit from stimulative monetary and fiscal policies leading up to their elections.
Excellent. So let's wrap it up with Chinese equities. They've continued to struggle in 2021. Is our model research maybe seeing maybe a little better in terms of some of the inputs? What's going on with China now?
Yeah, it's been a little bit mixed there. The outlook for Chinese equities, it does remain clouded and uncertainty surrounding continuing financial difficulties amongst Chinese real estate firms. There's another one on the horizon now that's potentially in question. Right. More restrictive government policies and overall slowing Chinese economy. The most recent GDP report growth out of China showed economic growth had slowed from an annual rate of 7.9 to 4.9% in the most recent quarter. So, you know, still a little too uncertain by the model's perspective to be climbing back in.
Okay, great. So that'll wrap up for at least a look at the equity markets. And now we'll switch gears. And we thought it might be a good idea to combine both fixed income and real assets and point out how in the current environment the model is more favorable towards real assets than fixed income. And so perhaps you could explain that dynamic in a bit more detail.
Yeah. Well, as inflationary expectations continue to rise faster than nominal interest rates, real interest rates, therefore, remain negative. That is, nominal rates less inflationary expectations. And our model research just continues to favor real assets like commodities and gold over fixed income, given that backdrop. Should real rates become less negative or even positive, imagine that, that would flip this dynamic. But in the shorter term, it just doesn't appear that that's going to be the case anytime soon.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Jared, for getting us caught up with the highlights from the View from the Edge for November. Model research hasn't changed dramatically, but you know, I'll be interested to see if at some point people look back and point to, you know, this announcement by the Fed that they're beginning to taper. Will that turn out to be, you know, sort of the beginning of the end and tightening of financial conditions? And, you know, so that could certainly have an impact. So stay tuned. That will do it for Eric and me for this month's edition of View from the Edge. If you'd like the full 3EDGE View from the Edge newsletter for November, you can find the print version of that on our website at 3EDGEAM.com. In the meantime, Eric and I will be back once again in early December with the next edition of View from the Edge. So all of our videos, if you remember, are available on our YouTube channel, which you can also subscribe to. On behalf of Eric and everyone at 3EDGE, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. This commentary and analysis is intended for information purposes only. The commentary does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed in View from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. It is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their individual financial advisor. These observations include information from sources that 3EDGE believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, involve the risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.